Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Let's go to John and get his thoughts on Derek Shelton's firing. Hello, John.
Hey, good afternoon, fellas. Great job outlining this whole Shelty situation. You stole some of my thunder, but It's a decent start getting rid of Shelton, but as you guys have mentioned, it's a shame. It's a crime that this wasn't a package deal. I mean, Charrington has just been a train wreck. Aside from flipping a coin and choosing Skeens over Dylan Cruz, the guy's done absolutely nothing. I mean, coming into this season, every Tom, Dick, and Harry, who's a Pirate fan, knew they needed at least two or three bats. And as you've already explained, he brings in Tommy Pham, Frazier, and a damaged goods in Spencer. It's just truly amazing that Charrington still has a job, and he has the audacity to say it became clear that we needed to make a change. Yeah, we need to make several changes.
And he's the one, thanks, John, who said he orchestrated it. I mean, it sounds, again, you have to take these press conferences at face value. We'll take them at face value, but you're allowed to be skeptical and cynical of what you hear. Because teams and people that represent organizations lie all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But if you take Ben Charrington at his word, if he doesn't go to Travis Williams and Bob Nutting after yesterday's game and say, it's time, it's 7 in a row, we're 12-26, this is almost an insurmountable hole for us to get out of, we have to do something. It sounds to me like if he didn't do that, Derek Shelton would be ready to manage the game tomorrow. No, like
that's the way he told it.
He implied that that's the amount of pull he still has on this team, that he can dictate whether or not a manager gets fired.
I'm not sure I believe that. We just said you can be as skeptical as you want. If that's actually true, he decided after essentially yesterday's sweep and 7 straight losses, then it really reflects poorly on Williams and Nutting, but specifically Nutting, because Travis is kind of in sort of the background here. It reflects poorly on both of them that they would need that to be said to them by Ben Charrington. They wouldn't have been just watching and observing themselves and going, ah, yeah, it's time.
Well, I also think the risk there, if it did go down that way, is Ben could make that recommendation and they could look at it and say, like we've said, well, why him and not you? Or why not both? You're finally saying that the plan is broken. It's not working anymore. Well, you're the one that put it together. You're the one who wanted to hire Derek Shelton in the first place. You're the one that gave him an extension, lobbied for that.
You bought the ingredients for this meal. The chef realized the ingredients were rotten. You said, oops, you're right. I gave him rotten ingredients. Yeah.
I will say one tweet that's gone viral here.
It's about whether or not the new pope has had more hot dogs than the 266 prior popes.
And I think he has. This from Buster Olney. This is not a great reflection on the people at the very top of the Pirates organization. Over the last 7 seasons, the Pirates have spent about $200 million less in payroll than the Brewers. That's an average of about $30 million a year.
I've been called a Bob Nutting apologist today by the YouTube commenters for just merely for pointing out that Neil Huntington, working under similar constraints to Ben Charrington, built a legitimate winning ball club. And people have said, well, Neil had more money, like particularly relative to like his peers. That is probably true. And that tweet drives home something pretty pretty ugly. Milwaukee's in a smaller market, by the way, too, for reference.
Chris, that's not really true, though. The Pirates are 26th in payroll right now, according to this ESPN article on Shelton getting fired. When the Pirates first made the playoffs in 2013, they were also 26th. The next year, they were 28th.
I shouldn't have said relative to other teams. I meant like relative to like inflation across general baseball payroll.
The YouTube commenters are referencing baseball inflation. Wow.
Well,
pretty savvy bunch there.
So if we were looking at like what that league average payroll tends to be, like there are, for example, there are 14 teams this year that have a tax payroll, according to SpotTrack, that's over $200 million. There were two in 2013, the first good year of Huntington. The 14th team that year in tax payroll was the Cubs at $118 million. So like I think they have a point that I feel like is salient enough that I need to acknowledge it here.
Tim is next. Hello, Tim.
Hello, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I'll make it brief. First of all, two things. Pony, thank you for asking the pointed questions to Greg Brown. I know he's a Pirate employee, and he's going to give the answers he did, but I give you credit for at least asking the questions, which I was very impressed with. Number two, the Pittsburgh Pirates are a Triple-A team. They're not a major league team in terms of the talent that they have. And so, you know, you might say, oh, of course, O'Neill Cruz, Brian Reynolds. Well, Brian hasn't hit yet, and maybe he will down the road. But you got five or six guys hitting below the Mendoza line, and the pitching is just so-so. I guess anymore in Pittsburgh, we got to be happy and satisfied when somebody's ERA is 4 or 4.5 or 5, and we say that's acceptable. But anyway, I just wanted to let you know the talent on the team is Triple-A level, I believe. Of course, there's some exceptions.
Thanks,
with O'Neill Cruz.
I got you, man. But I would say where some of these guys were drafted, the talent should be better. I mean, Henry Davis is Exhibit A of that. You use the number one overall pick on a guy. He's hitting .133, and if not for an Andy Rodriguez finger injury,
he wouldn't
even be on the team. And you drafted him there. I get it. You saved a little bit of money because you wanted to spend it later. And it could end up paying off with Bubba Chandler if he's as good as he's been in the minor league so far.
But you still but you draft the guy 1-1 trying to save money to get Chandler, assuming he might not be like your classic 1-1 talent. You don't assume you're drafting a guy who can't catch really at the big league level.
No doubt.
And is hitting .130.
Right. You don't make a bad pick first overall because your idea is you're going to make better picks with your second, third, and fourth and fifth round picks. That's illogical. So, you know, part of this has got to be that guys who they did invest big draft picks in, or they traded major leaguers for prospects from other teams thinking they could take that guy and turn him into a future major leaguer. And very few of those moves have panned out. And like, you know, when I see guys in the majors who play brain dead baseball and clumsy and are clueless, like I do think at that point it falls back on Shelton, but also like they got here and either, I don't know, it seeps in.
Sawinski's an example of a guy who got here and then it got worse, or guys come from like completely outside the organization. And like, if you're talking about more like a fam and like, you can't believe how bad he's been. Yeah, there's those, but there's also guys that come up here through this organization, start to play kind of well. Then the Pirates start seemingly tweaking and make those guys worse. There's like this, there is that pervasive effect that seems to be real when people talk about the letters on the front of the jersey are part of the problem. Like there's like a snake bit factor.
Here's our guy, Troy.
It feels real.
Here's our guy, Troy, in Mount Washington. I'm interested to hear what he has to say. Hello, Troy.
What's up, guys? What a wonderful day to get some good news. So first off, comparing his availability to a guy that gets perfect attendance, that is really downing the guy that got perfect attendance. When you're younger and you get perfect attendance, that's actually an accomplishment to make it to school every day. So that's kind of downing that kid over Shelton. Two questions I have for you are, do you think, what is the percentage that you think Charrington will be back at the beginning of next year?
25%.
I think it's under 10.
Under 10, okay. So moving forward, what do you think the chances are of the Pirates organization trying to go young, trying to take a step outside of the box and say, hey, we're going to bring up someone that's young to relate with schemes, maybe even someone from an LSU coaching staff? And what do you think for Cruz and for Skeens is the best manager they can have to bring the best out of them.
I don't think the LSU coach would take this job because I'm not convinced it pays better than being at LSU.
Say, it's probably a pay cut.
Shelton was making $1.5 million. They'd really have to make it worth his while. I don't think, given the challenges here, that would necessarily happen. I don't know what LSU's situation is this year. I haven't checked college baseball, but it seems like it's pretty turnkey that they're really good every year.
Jay Johnson's making at least $1.65 million.
I think there's always a separation, though, like when you see Saban or some of the Pete Carroll, some of these coaches that just want to be at the highest level. Yeah. So I don't really think money comes into it.
Well, I think, thanks, Troy, your phone's cutting out. I think money factors into just about everything for people. So I do think,
unless you're somebody who's made so much money that you know, 20, 30, 40 lifetimes over, you couldn't spend it.
My guess isn't what I want. I want someone with a managerial record to be their next manager. They just tried the route of, let's bring someone in who's inexperienced and never done it before. And guess what? He looked like a manager who was a glorified hitting coach who wasn't up to snuff. I want someone that's at least done it before and has proven that he actually, and it would be helpful even, I would be more interested if it was a guy that did it with a smaller payroll team. That's why I know Joe Maddon's in his 70s. And we got sick of him in Chicago, but look at what he did with the Rays.
He won the title for Chicago. He was great with the Rays.
Got to a World Series with the Rays.
It was not great at the end with the Angels, but no one ever goes there and wins. I feel like Joe Maddon's also the kind of guy that if he takes a job, he has that FU kind of mentality that he's going to smartest guy in the room, prove everybody wrong. And honestly, I think just like A.J. Burnett as a player changed the culture here and actually made the Pirates feel like they had somebody who could beat up the bullies and not constantly get picked on, I feel like Maddon has a bit of that quality as a manager.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Pirates have fired Derek Shelton. We'll get more of your thoughts at 412-928-9370 coming up. Right now, though, more reaction to the George Pickens deal with Ray Fittipaldo. Steelers Insider brought to you by Western PA Injury Attorneys of LGKG, serving as your home team for over 90 years, LGKG.com. Ray, George Pickens met the media down in Dallas today. He was asked by reporters there, did you request a trade out of Pittsburgh? And he said no. Is George Pickens lying?
No, I don't think so, but I don't think it's any secret that he didn't show up for the voluntary the first phase of the voluntary workouts. And I just think, you know, things in Pittsburgh for him, you know, from the Steelers' perspective, they were kind of at the end of the rope and they wanted to move on. So, you know, getting a 3 and a 5 for him, I know the 5 is in 2027, but, you know, getting a 3 in 2026, I think it's fine. You know, you go out, you get another veteran free agent receiver and you eliminate a headache from your locker room and a headache for the coaching staff. So I know a lot of people were maybe expecting they get a 2, but I think in the end, when you get rid of a guy like that, you know, sometimes it's addition by subtraction.
How hard were they trying to move him during the draft, Ray, to your understanding?
I will say this. I think they have no problem taking a 2026 instead of a 2025. I can't tell you that was preferable, but, I mean, that we all know what their intent is next year, trying to get a quarterback. So they are more than happy to get a 2026 pick in terms of compensation. So I think a lot of people kind of connected the dots before the draft. They kind of said, okay, well, it makes sense to deal him during the draft, but, you know, in the end, if the Steelers were happy to get a 26 pick instead, then, you know, they could have dealt him at any point. They could have dealt him at June, July, August, whenever. So, and, you know, you also have to factor in that Dallas maybe couldn't do the deal or didn't want to do the deal before the draft. And then it just so happens that they want to do the deal after the draft. So like I've said all along, you need a dance partner, and eventually the Cowboys can call him.
Ray, do you think Aaron Rodgers liked this trade?
You know, Aaron Rodgers likes detail with his receivers. He likes his receivers to run patterns a certain way. So I think
that sounds like a yes to me.
I think he's probably okay with it. Yeah, I think. And don't be surprised if the Steelers try to go get somebody who has a history with Aaron Rodgers. And I wouldn't expect that before Aaron signs, but I think after, you know, it becomes official and he does sign, you know, there are guys who played with him with the Jets, with the Packers, you know, who might be available, you know, for a mid or a late round pick. So I think that's definitely something to keep an eye on. You know, I think if you look at their roster guys, I mean, Calvin Austin is a good 3 or a 4. Roman Wilson, we have no idea about. I think you have to go out in a trade or in free agency and try to get a
number 2. What's up with this national media thing where they're saying, oh, the Steelers actually love Roman Wilson now? They had a funny way of showing it at the end of last year.
Well, I mean, I think they do like him, but, you know, in the end, like Mike Tomlin always says, it's hard to get on that moving train. And he missed pretty much all. I think he practiced 2 or 3 times early in camp. He was injured on the first day in pads. Okay. He comes back. I think he dresses for 1 game in October. He probably practiced for a few weeks before that, but he was not well versed in that offense. And I could tell you he was ready to come back probably in November or December, but at that point they made the decision, we're going to go with the guys who have been here all year, who have been practicing. That was a team that was fighting for a playoff spot, a team that was in the playoffs. They weren't just going to throw a rookie to the wolves just to see, you know, if he could, you know, if he could hang with the rest of the guys. Football coaches are very much like that. They are not going to change a lot during the season. I think you'd be reading a little bit too much into that if you did that.
Ray, do you think that this team, forget about maybe an Aaron Rodgers friend like Alan Lazard, do you think they'll have any interest in guys like Amari Cooper, Keenan Allen?
You know, Cooper's stats have kind of gone down significantly the last couple of years. Keenan Allen, he put up good numbers last year. So I don't know if that would be a good fit for Rodgers. I would have to, you know, research that a little bit. Is that, you know, his type of receiver? I mean, at this point,
he's never been a get open by speed guy. I mean, he's a route running kind of technician.
Right. So you definitely have to get the right fit. And I don't think it's a coincidence that, you know, Aaron likes to hand pick his guys like he did when he was in New York. So
how'd that go for him in New York, Ray?
Well, he was injured the first year, and last year it didn't go well, but it did go okay at the end of the season. So I, I hate to break it up like into portions, but it was working pretty good at the end of last season, wasn't it?
I mean, by what, by just out of curiosity, by what measure did it go well at the end of last season for him?
I thought Aaron put up really good stats, probably the final eight games of the season. The Jets weren't winning games, but if you look at his stats and, you know, the guys he was throwing to, you know, the numbers were there. He was playing his best football at the end of the season.
Well, their last three games, they lost to the Rams 19-9. He was 28-42 with a touchdown. The second to last week of the season, they played the Bills. He was 12-18 for 112 yards and two interceptions. And then the last game against the year against Miami, he was really good, 23-36, 274, four touchdowns. I don't know. I mean, if that's really good, then, I mean, I might as well play Mason Rudolph if that's the guy that we're getting here for 2025.
I think when I did the research, I looked at the final eight games of last season. I just broke it up into halves of the season. He wasn't good early. Seahawks fans remember that. When they played
them.
They
won two of those games, Ray. They won two of their last eight. I mean,
I'm saying, Aaron, you can't put everything on the quarterback. I mean, the Jets were not a good football team. So I'm just saying.
I mean, when you're scoring 6 points and 9 points and 14 points in a game, I feel like you can put that on a quarterback.
But break it up into the final eight games, I think you'll see some different stats.
No, I'm giving you the last eight games.
Well, what were the numbers?
They went 2-6. And I'd have to do the math on how many points they average in those games, but I see 6, 27, 21, 26, 25, 9, 14, and 32. I don't know. I mean, I guess probably
about
more.
23, 24.
They averaged 21 points a game.
Okay.
In that eight game.
What
stretch.
Did the Steelers average last year? Probably 21 points a game, right? I mean, I just don't see a lot of difference between him and Russell Wilson. Is that crazy?
I think. Even at this age, I think Aaron Rodgers is better than Russell Wilson. Or I will say this, he's a better fit with Arthur Smith.
The Steelers averaged exactly 21 points per game in that exact same stretch of time. However, they scored 44 and 27 back-to-back and then didn't get over 20 in any other game.
Ray, why do you think they're doing all this for Aaron Rodgers out of curiosity? What's your theory on why Aaron Rodgers is deemed so vital by the Steelers?
He's the best option available, and their only other option right now is Mason Rudolph. I mean, I honestly think it's that simple. I mean, believe me, they wouldn't have their hearts broken if Aaron Rodgers retires because they like Mason Rudolph, but the people in that building also believe that Aaron Rodgers is an upgrade over Mason Rudolph. That's why they're doing it. They're not going to pay a lot of money for him, and they're going to see if they can contend for the playoffs one more time with their core guys. That's basically what this is all about.
Ray, I hear that, and I understand why, if you just connect the name Aaron Rodgers to that idea, why people would be seduced by it. But I'm more with Pony here. It just seems like, based on the eye test and like a lot of experiential stuff here, that just isn't going to work out the way that I think people want to believe it will when they say it out loud, if that makes sense. It feels like perception or like the dream does not closely match up at all with reality.
Hey, listen, a lot of things have to come together, right? He's got to mesh with Arthur
Smith. I mean, their offensive line has to not get him killed, and they're swapping Jones like they should have, and they're bringing Fautanu, who I know they loved, over to right tackle again where he should be all year, but that's still two major moving pieces.
Right, there's an example of a guy that got on the moving train. He got hurt, and the second he got healthy, Tomlin wanted to put him right back in the lineup as a rookie.
Who was that?
Fautanu. Right?
Yeah. But I mean, you're talking about Roman Wilson was injured twice, right? Unlike Fautanu's second injury was season-ending. Roman Wilson had the ability to come back. They just never felt comfortable putting him back in there because, you know, they were winning games or they were contending with guys who had been there all season. That's what I'm saying about that.
Ray Fittipaldo, check him out in the Post-Gazette. The big story, George Pickens out, and we'll wait to see who comes in. For now, it's a third-round pick in the 2026 draft. Thank you, Ray.
All right, guys. See you.
There you go. I got to stop killing the messenger, but I can't help myself. So.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Sometimes.
I don't think anyone takes it personally. They kind of know what you're
I just think it's a total misnomer that Aaron Rodgers went off in the second half of last season. How many times did I have Red Zone channel on because the Steelers didn't play Sunday 1 o'clock games? And what's his name? Not Chris Hansen.
Scott Hansen. Chris Hansen was like, come over here and sit down.
Scott Hansen is standing there and he hasn't peed in 9 hours. And he's like, let's go to New York. The Jets are trying to mount a drive here. They've scored 6 points to this juncture in the game. Breece Hall has about 40 yards and Aaron Rodgers has screamed at Garrett Wilson on the sideline. But somehow they're still in it. So let's go there. And it's like that was every week.
If I take Rodgers' last 8 games and just zero in on only his individual numbers, he threw 13 touchdowns and he threw 4 picks. In the other part of the season, he threw 15 touchdowns and 7 interceptions. Not like altogether that different of a player. He had a couple more really good games. But here is what I would say. Would we really give him a ton of credit because they went 2-6? Like, I always used to rip people who would praise Roethlisberger when they would lose and he'd have some empty calorie stats. Rodgers' best game, I would argue, of those 8, is a meaningless final game of the season against Miami.
Yep.
Throws 4 touchdowns. His other best game, yeah, he cooked Jacksonville pretty good, but he only went 16-30.
It was 53%.
That was one of those. He threw 3 touchdowns, and that was one of those like hyper efficient. Like every play was a big hit.
Yes, it was also against Jacksonville.
Right,
as you stated.
A mess of a team. He did not have what I would call like bowl you over performances game after game after game. Not even close.
The last 8 games, the Jets played 2 playoff teams, the Rams and Bills,
19-9 and 40-14.
Right.
And he had, in those 2 games combined, I'll just read it out for people, he went 40 of 60 for 368 yards. That's check down Charlie stuff. 1 touchdown, 2 picks.
Yeah.
His average yards per attempt, I know you love this stat. I think it's a great stat to measure how good you are, basically, or effective you are.
And that was always a great stat for Ben when he was in his prime.
Because the best in the league are usually around 7 or 8, sometimes even 9 for stretches. Rodgers was under 5. You know whose average yards per attempt was under 5 a lot? Come on, say it with me. Say
Chad Pennington?
No, come on. A guy who was supposed to be the next
Kenny
Joe
Pickett?
Montana. Yeah.
Yeah, I knew you were going to do that.
Well, all right. Why'd you fight it? Why did you? Why didn't
I wanted
you just
to be difficult for once? Because you're usually that way with me.
I'm usually difficult. Actually, Kenny's was only that close to that low his rookie year.
Follow
so he
us.
Was worse than any version of Pickett.
Follow. Oh, that's encouraging. By the way, did you see how small Kenny's hands looked on the football?
I sent that picture to you and Donnie, and it was a tweet like from like some like Browns account, and you went, "Is that real?"
It looked
because Flacco's got meat hooks, and like his fingers are like an inch and a half higher up the NFL logo, poor Kenny looks like he's trying to keep the ball from falling out of his hands.
I thought you got a picture of Stella with a football in her hands when you sent me that.
I'm just going to say very quickly, I love when people send this one. Somebody said, here's Pickett after he gets beat out by Flacco for the job, and it was that Arthur the Aardvark with the tiniest hand possible balled into.
The Fan and the Pirates want to visit your teams in action for our Youth Baseball and Softball Showcase presented by Sheets. Parents and coaches send an email to us at youthsports@937thefan.com to register. Your 12 and under team and the Fan may make a stop to your field. Details at 937thefan.com, brought to you by Keystone Custom Apparel. Derek Shelton won't be making it. Well, I guess he's got time for a stop now, but he won't be representing the Pirates because he was fired today. We gave you four options for TRT, Total Request Thursday. You picked the 5:30 topic. 13% of you wanted us to talk about the new 93.7 The Fan rivalry that's playing out behind the scenes. I thought that was salacious and juicy, but not enough to win. 19% in a football town said, keep talking about the George Pickens trade. It's a massive story. Steelers get rid of another truculent wide receiver. And 19% said, let's talk about that. 25%, a quarter of you said, the white smoke billowed out today. Let's talk new Pope. He's an American Pope. He's probably been to a barbecue before.
When you said he's an American Pope, I just thought of, we're an American band.
He's coming to your town.
He's coming to your town.
He'll help you party down. He's the new Pope, 25%. Not a bad showing by the new Pope.
I voted for new Pope. Catholic school, I mean, what are you going to do?
43% said Derek Shelton was fired today. It's the top story. Let's keep talking about old Shelty. Donnie said that he's aged like an old president in office. How about this from Cespedes Family Barbecue? He's been on Twitter for a while. Those big numbers.
I did not know you knew about Cespedes Family Barbecue.
Derek Shelton, the earliest manager to be fired in a season since 2018. When the Reds got rid of Brian Price after a 3-15 start. Rare to see a team make a move this quickly. I felt like they waited too long to be
blunt. He should have been fired after the last game of last season.
And that's why, like, I agree with what you brought up with Zangrilli when he was on with us Monday, when this was bubbling and we thought this could happen after the Pirates got swept by the Padres. Mm-hmm. And you guys were talking about how maybe Bob thought to himself, I almost fired Huntington and Hurdle after 2012 when they had that September collapse and looked like a slam dunk to end the losing season drought, and then went into a total tailspin and ended up winning, what, 79 games that season?
Mm-hmm.
And he held out hope for one more year, and he was rewarded for it. They won 94 games. And I think he felt like maybe the exception to last year was August and September, and the real Pirates were the team they were April, May, June, and July.
Mm-hmm.
But I think when someone's been on the job for that long and what have you done for me lately is so bad, I think the move there would have been to start fresh. And I think what I would have maybe done, well, I was going to say have Cherington. No, you can't have Cherington hire the manager in the offseason. You should have fired them both then.
They didn't have the guts and the intestinal fortitude to do, I think, what was maybe a hard decision for them, but what needed to be done. And now you're going to get a very messy situation coming out of it, in my opinion.
Here's a question that came into us on this topic. What is something Donnie Kelly could do immediately as Pirates manager that would make you feel he's an upgrade to Derek Shelton?
Bench Tommy Pham and play Gorski. I just want to see a bat that might be interesting and have some power. I think bench Tommy Pham is the first one, though.
So Pham is just a bench player who gets in for pinch hit.
Yeah, I don't want to see him in the lineup anymore. Yep. I don't want to see his name penciled in.
I agree.
That's the major one, and that's not an original one. I've seen a ton of people say, if Don Kelly wants to get my attention, bench the guy that has, what does he have? More games in suspensions that he's earned than, what, home runs? Has he hit a home run
yet?
He
has zero home runs, yeah. And he has a one-game suspension for telling someone to go masturbate.
No, he was rolling the dice, Pony.
Mm. Well, Major League Baseball saw it my way. Donnie, how would you answer that question other than Pham? What could Donnie Kelly do to make you feel like, hey, he's actually different from Shelton?
I would say if he goes about things where he is going to hold the players more accountable, because it just didn't feel like there was much of that at all with Shelton. And I'm not saying something as simple as, like, if he notices a guy, like, not giving it 1,000% down the line when he pops one up to third base, he's going to bench him. But I just think there needs to be something that holds the team more accountable. Like, if there is a noticeable, like, dogging on a play, whether it's on the bases or in the field, nobody on the roster right now is really exempt to that. I mean, I know that O'Neill Cruz is playing at the plate, at least, pretty out of his mind, but nobody should be exempt from that. And I think that's something that Shelton really never did that would get people on the right side of Kelly.
I think he should go the consistent lineup route. And I know it's hard to do that when you don't have really good hitters, but I would try to figure out or map out, all right, in my opinion, if I'm him, these are my best, say, seven hitters, and maybe I've got two guys that are more like platoon worthy.
Okay.
And just run those seven guys out there for an extended period of time.
What if your GM's telling you, hold on, all of our analytics people that I hired with all of my baseball budget are telling me we've got to give these guys some rest?
I actually think in this situation, Kelly has some leverage, and here's what it is. Charrington has come out and said that he's got the job for the rest of the year. And Kelly knows that really, in order to keep the job, it's not necessarily him trying to win over Ben Charrington, because Charrington should be on the hot seat too.
Although the weird thing is, if Kelly came in and did a very good job, he would sort of prove Charrington's point, because it would be with the same guys,
right,
and he would have gotten more out of him. He'd probably save Charrington's job if he actually played like a 500 manager.
But I'm saying if Kelly did it his way, and then let's say it did, you know, it did save, it got Charrington a stay of execution. Mm-hmm. The pendulum of power, though, would shift more towards the middle than just being all consolidated towards Charrington. Because at that point, Kelly, you know, he's going to get a contract from Nutting.
And he probably could go to, you're right, he could go to Bob Nutting and say, listen, I did it my way, and that's why it worked, and
right,
it's going to be my way. And here are some clearly marked lines of demarcation where he cannot cross into what I'm trying to do.
Think about this. The guy's from Mount Lebanon. He's a
Point Park grad.
Yes. Everybody says universally, inside Major League Baseball and locally, and I've met him, he's a really good guy. He's an easy guy to like. He honestly, this is just my opinion, he does not have like a commanding presence the way that Hurdle did.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so it'll be interesting to see how he does as a manager.
Well, these
in that
guys
way.
Need kind of a kick in the ass right now.
Right.
That's
so
the problem.
He's going to have to, I think, step up in that way. Or maybe he is like that when he's around major leaguers and not so much the media. But think about what you just said. If Kelly, you know, actually does, you know, say, this is my one shot to be a manager, I'm going to do it my way, and that rubs Charrington the wrong way, Ben can't fire him. That would be another PR disaster. The owner wouldn't let him do it. We're going to fire the local kid who everybody likes. Nobody likes you, the GM, right now, and that's what you're recommending to me. I can't get this guy in line. He won't listen to me. I think Kelly's actually got more power than he thinks.
Hopefully,
in this situation,
hopefully
he should exercise it and use it.
Hopefully he's willing to wield it. A guy who you described, I've not met Don Kelly, just full disclosure, but you describe him as such a nice guy, kind of just an affable, easy to get along with guy.
Yes.
I think people like that sometimes are uncomfortable wielding power even when they know they have it, because they don't want to be imposing on other people.
Well, yeah, he's got, to me, that's how you separate yourself now. You've got to do something. If I'm a fan and I'm watching every night, I want it to be clear to me that there is a new sheriff in town.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.